Good morning. This is Amy Wirth, and it's my pleasure to call to order the meeting of the Bay Area Headquarters Authority, BAHA, for Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. First of all, I'd like to turn to the secretary to confirm that we have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Next, I'd like to note that this meeting, as are all of our meetings, is being broadcast on the MTC website, and all the materials for this meeting are on the table next to the window as well as online, and we welcome public comment. So if you'd like to speak on any items before us today, please complete a blue speaker card and hand it to the secretary, and then I will call upon you at the appropriate agenda time. So first of all, we have our consent calendar. May I please have a motion for approval?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner – oh, wait, I think we – right. Seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Thank you, Commissioner Glover. Well, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That carries unanimously. Right. We'll now move on to item 3, 375 Beale Street, the status report for January 2015, and that's an information item. I'd like to turn to Stephen Wolf for that report, please.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Stephen Wolf, BAHA staff. Terry Green couldn't be here. She has a family emergency, so our thoughts are with her. For the latest on our project, the hottest topic is the DEA and their move out from the building. As of last week, the DEA Drug Enforcement Administration expects to be out of the building and hand over the space by March 6th. We expected March 1st when we wrote this report. March 6th would be close, and we're already looking at options with our contractor, McCarthy, to see how we can accelerate the schedule regardless of when the DEA moves out so that there'll be no time impact to the project. In terms of the construction, we are framing on all five agency floors, so 1, 2, 6, 7, and 8. Of course, the south halves of 7 and 8 where the DEA is impacting us are not being worked on at this time. Once the DEA leaves, then there will be a lot of activity that will go forward very quickly. The first activities are the hazardous material abatement, if there's any, soft and hard demolition, and then the seismic retrofit. And we're working with McCarthy to make sure that we have a very strong 30-day plan. I mean, they have their schedule worked out to the end of the project, but the first 30 days will be critical to make sure everything gets going according to schedule and that there's no cause for delays. In terms of interagency collaboration, MTC, ABAG, and the Air District are currently focusing on finalizing a staffing plan to jointly share business operation services. In terms of furniture, the dealer, Hogue, has laid out floor plans with the furniture for the agency floors, and they've prepared a budget. They're preparing an installation schedule, and they've installed a mock-up of the furniture in the building, all of which we're currently reviewing. And in the next 2 months, we expect to have a chair test. I know that's also a hot topic here, to make sure that the chairs at the new boardroom are more comfortable than the one I'm sitting in right now. And on the move, with move coordinator services, we've entered into a contract with Relocation Connections, who will help coordinate the agency move for Air District ABAG and MTC. Work has started on inventorying the space and creating a move-out schedule, and all three agencies are involved in that process. On the leasing front, we are negotiating final terms with our first tenant, Rutherford and Chiquin, and Cushman and Wakefield, our leasing agent, are touring the building for the other spaces with other companies. That concludes the status report. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Great, Stephen, thank you very much for that report. Are there any questions of the authority? Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Oh, yes, Commissioner Kinsey.
Thank you, Chair. Stephen, could you tell us now, with these changes that we're going to be making today and the $32 million extra dollars, what is our total budget for the project at this point?
I should have that
you
answer on the top of my head.
This was a test, actually. I appreciate it.
I work with a lot of numbers, you know, and So the number I'm most familiar with is that we've added $33 million in November to the existing budget.
Right.
And all project costs together, I will have to go back and
Commissioner,
find
if you don't mind round numbers, we bought the building for a little less than 100. The rehab is probably another 140, 50, something like that.
Okay. Commissioner Azambrato?
Tom Azambrato, HUD rep. What's the ballpark cost per square foot we're getting on the lease?
You know, that is in Terry's basket, but it's approximately $40 going up a dollar a year per square foot.
So we looked at that in regards to what the market is commanding at that.
We have, you know, a lot of the space in San Francisco is Class A type space, so it's not really comparable to the highest leases that you're seeing for things like the Transbay Tower and other facilities. But for a Class B type facility, we think we're on par. This first lease it is on one of the lower floors, so we expect that upper floors will get slightly higher premium than the first lease.
I know it's a rehab. What's the distinction between us being Class B and a new Class A?
So in our project, what really prevents us from being a Class A top-of-the-market type facility is the floor-to-floor height. Other new structures might have taller floor-to-floor heights, 14, 15 feet. Ours come in at 11 feet. And then also the column spacing is very frequent, about 23 feet on center. So it is not a most open floor plan that you might get with a steel structure. Nevertheless, I mean, I would think that this will be a B plus. I mean, we are a government agency, so we're not trying to trick out the building as much as, you know, some might like. But it will look nice. And so I would say it's a B plus type facility.
Commissioner, if I could add as well, you'll recall that when we went through the purchase, we grunted you through a lot of numbers that Brian Mayhew had developed, and his assumption had always been that we would be Class B. So we're hitting those marks. We were really never aiming for A.
Yeah, no, I know we're meeting and exceeding what we projected. I was just thinking we could actually have commanded more and curtail some of the negative press, but
I was slightly offended about it too. But we're B, not A. That's just the way it is.
Great, thank you, very much. Any other questions? All right, Steve, thank you very, very much for that report and update. And then we're moving on to item 4, which is legal services for Farrell, LeBron and Martell LLP for $100,000. Again, this is part of our currently approved budget, and I'd like to, if I may. Turn to our general counsel for any additional information on this item.
I don't really have any additional information. Most of it's contained in the memo. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Yes, Commissioner Campos.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to thank you for the report. Trying to understand sort of what exactly they're doing, how much has been spent in legal services. And whether or not there was any thought of, you know, having this kind of legal work be done in-house.
Thank you for the question, and actually it's a very good one. Most of the legal work has been done in-house. We have spent, apart from the purchase of the building and negotiating the sale and purchase agreement with the sellers, we have done all the legal work in-house, even though none of us in the Office of General Counsel are real estate specialists. None of us have prior practice experience in real estate. Nonetheless, we have done it in-house, but when we have specific detailed questions regarding real estate law as pertains to zoning or permitting or what is market for commercial lease terms, we turn to outside counsel for assistance in that so that we can optimize the deal terms for Baja. So all in, so far, we've spent about $100,000. And if you compare that to the other professional services expenditures that we've spent on this project, it is minuscule. So I'm hopeful that with this contract amendment, we'll be able to get all the initial tenants in place in the building to start producing the revenue that Brian Mayhew projected we would produce at a very economical and efficient work product.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
I move approval.
Moved by Commissioner Tissier. Second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Vice Chair Cortese. Is there any public comment? Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Our next item, we are moving on to item 5, which is a contract amendment for architectural and engineering services with Perkins and Will in the amount of $1,650,000 plus a contingency not to exceed $300,000. So, again, I'd like to turn to Stephen Wolf for any additional comments for that report and that item.
Good morning, Commissioner. Stephen Wolf, Baja staff. I'm seeking authority approval to amend Perkins & Will's contract for architect engineering services. In November, the board approved a revision to the project budget to account for the delay of the project due to the DEA's delay in moving out of the building. And so accordingly, this amendment increases Perkins & Will's contract amount for the 11-month delay, but consistent with the budget revision that was made in November. So this work funds that extension of services, but it also provides some funding for initializing the design on the Level 5 extension of space for the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. It includes funding for some agency-requested design changes and a contingency. So the recommendation is that the authority authorize the executive director or his designee to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with Perkins & Will to add an amount not to exceed $1,650,000 for completing the architect engineering services through construction closeout, plus a contingency to be used at the executive director's discretion in the amount of $300,000. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions of commissioners?
I'll move approval.
Move approval by Commissioner Cortese?
Chairman.
Second? Okay. Okay. Second by second. Commissioner Tissier, and then I have a question of Commissioner Azambrato. Okay.
Tom Azambrato, HUD rep. What's the total compensation for the architect, and what's the percentage of the rehab cost?
Sure. The total revised contract would be approximately $10 million, which comes up to about 10% of the construction cost. Construction is about $100
million. Great. Thank you. Is there any public comment? Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Now we'll move on to item 6, which is a contract amendment for construction services McCarthy Building Companies Incorporated in the amount of $8,500,000 plus additional contingency not to exceed $1,500,000. Again, I'd like to turn to our staff, Stephen Wolf, for any additional comments on this item.
Good morning, Commissioners. Stephen Wolf, Baja staff. I am seeking funds to amend McCarthy Building Company's contract for construction. Similar to the last item, in November, the board approved the revision to the budget. This would revise McCarthy's contract consistent with the budget revision that was authorized in November. And the recommendation is that the authority authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with McCarthy to add an amount not to exceed $8,500,000 for construction services and to add $1,500,000 to the owner contingency to be used at the executive director's discretion. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Vice Chair Cortese?
Yeah, I know the contingency percentage here is consistent with the last item. It looks like it's in the neighborhood of 20% or so. And I'm asking this in part because, you know, we appear to be being asked to delegate the ability to spend or invest those dollars in I guess any additional change orders or whatever comes up. Why why are we at that percentage? I mean, I'm just going through my mind in terms of, you know, customary private sector change order contingencies, or even in public sector realms that I've served in, it might be more like 7 to 10%. It just seems like a doubling down of, you know, of a contingency reserve. Are we that fearful that we're going to bump into a bunch of change orders, or is the intention to have that number come in as close to zero as possible?
That is a good question, Commissioner. If you, in the project status report, we provided a table, attachment C, that gave an overview of how we've used the contingency to date. One way to look at the additional $1.5 million that we're adding is relative to the entire contract amount, which is about $110 million, in which case that would only be a percent increase. So when we originally budgeted the project, we included an owner's contingency of $4.3 million against the $100 million. And that was part of the larger contingency of $18 million, half of which went into design, and then $4 million went to the construction contingency, and then the construction manager at risk holds $4 million, and that made up the entire $18 million contingency. So we're adding right now $1.5 million, recognizing that, you know, through change orders and other delay costs that we've experienced, we've used most of the $4.3 million contingency that was originally allocated for us to use for change orders. So that brings the amount to 5.8 out of $110 million, which isn't so unpalatable. We certainly don't want to use any contingency that we don't have to. But we also added $7 million in contingency in November, so the $1.5 million goes against the $7 million that we authorized. And if you recall, half of that we sort of allotted in case the DEA takes all the way until June 30th when their lease expires. So the other half, the $3.5 million, was really for any project, other project-related cost overruns that we might see. So it is also possible that we might come again to increase the construction contingency. We allocated $1.5 million right now based on foreseeable risks. But I'm not sure that to see it as 20% of the cost increase that we're asking for today, or for the budget revision that we're asking today, is the way to look at it, as opposed to the, you know, 1% of the entire contract.
Okay, so if I may follow up, I'm fine looking at it as a percentage of the total, or adding this in, but if you could just restate one more time, I think you said it, where are we at in terms of an overall percentage with these contingencies, you know, assuming that this vote goes through, where are you at the end of today in terms of authorized contingency as a percentage of total project cost?
Fair enough. So today we've used approximately $4 million of our construction contingency against $100 million, so that's 4%. And we're adding another percent, $1.5 million contingency. So that would take us to about 6% of the total construction contract, which is more consistent with the numbers that you were mentioning earlier.
Exactly, and I appreciate that. And in terms of what you indicated, that we previously appropriated these dollars as prior budget votes that we've taken here, is the 6%, will the 6% take us up to the total of what we budgeted to date, or do we still have room there? And if so, ballpark, what percentage is still left? If we're at 6 now, what do we have left in terms of authorized or appropriated dollars that could go toward contingency? Because you did say you might have to come back one more time. I just want to know that we've already budgeted for that.
That's a good question. I think that table attachment C will help give the clearest picture of where we are with the contingency that's available today. The short answer is that we have $11.5 million that we haven't spent that isn't tied to any current cost. Um, So,
and Stephen, if I could interrupt, Commissioner, pardon me, what's the to-go cost? How much cost do we have left in the project?
We've spent approximately half of the project cost. So there's approximately $50 million left to spend in construction.
So we have $50 million left, and we've got $11 million to cover it.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's, I mean, that's closer to 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just. Yeah,
I mean, one thing we were just trying to get, Commissioner,
when we start looking at it at a micro level like that, we get these 20% contingency figures, which I think, you know, we're being told is really not the kind of contingency overall that we've authorized on the project, which is good. And we, you know, obviously we're under a lot of scrutiny on this project and every other one that we do. And I'm asking these questions not because the packet's incomplete, because I want it on the record that we're not running around authorizing 20% contingencies on this project, that overall, what we're being told is, you know, to date, we're at about a 6% contingency if we approve, you know, the remainder of this agenda. And all I was saying is, how much more have we already appropriated? It sounds like $11 million. I'm just asking, does it look like a worst-case scenario that you're going to be able to stay within a 7% contingency overall in the project? Let me just put it that way.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if that's the case, that's what I was trying to get to here, that we're closer overall to a 7% number, 6 to 7% number, than a 20% number overall in the project.
Yes, I apologize for my inartful wording, but that is the case, and we have a strong concern about how we use the contingency that's remaining and not coming back for any additional funds.
Yes. And, Stephen, if I can just follow up on that sort of the micro view, looking at the attachment C that you referenced, the $11.5 million in unspent, that reflects the actions today, correct? I mean, when we look at money that's left, or
that's correct. So
yeah,
even
exactly.
though we are, even though we are allocating $1.5 million contingency to McCarthy and $300,000 contingency to Perkins and Will, and in November we allocated $500,000 to our construction manager Harris. None of that money has been spent yet. It is just a contractual mechanism so that we can spend it. Because otherwise, you know, we can't allocate it to those contracts. So we currently hold the entire $7 million that you added last in November. And in addition to that, in the construction contingency held by the construction manager at risk, they've only spent a very little amount of that. And you'll recall that any of the amount that remains in the contractor's contingency, the majority of it comes back to us. We can't spend it right now, but it will be like a sort of bonus at the end. It will come back to the project at about 70%.
Great. We appreciate your sharp pencil on this. And
I do apologize. Yeah. There's a math error in this table. The budget column should say $25 million.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Perfect. Thank you very much. Now, Commissioner Spearing?
No.
Oh, you got it. Okay, great. Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I thought it was very helpful the way Vice Chair Cortese characterized. We had the appropriation at our previous meeting, and now we are allocating funds within that appropriation. So these are not additional. They are within what we've already appropriated or allocated, whatever, that we've already allocated. So thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Commissioner Campos.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just going back to thank you for the presentation. What are the chances that you're going to come back for additional amendments to these contracts? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Certainly. We do expect to come back with amendments to these contracts, and what I tried to do to give a slightly clearer picture of how that will work is, you know, we had the budget revision in November, And then in Table B in the status report, we laid out all the different added costs and where we see those costs being allocated. So, for example, we were authorized to complete Level 5 and the build-out of Level 5. And currently in the Perkins and Will Amendment, we have added some money to start that design, but we haven't finalized the decision that Perkins and Will actually be the final architect for that work. And we haven't determined that McCarthy will do the construction for that floor. It will depend on timing and making sure that the rest of the building can be completed on time without giving them something that would slow them down. But it is also logical to give McCarthy that work because they are doing the rest of the work on the building, in which case we would have to come back for an amendment for the construction funds to do the Level 5 build-out. So there are pockets where we haven't allocated all the funds to these contracts where we would come back for more money, not related to an unforeseen increase in scope necessarily, but just we haven't given them all the money that you've authorized in November for certain work.
Good. All right. I want to thank commissioners for those questions. And again, I just wanted to confirm, I think following up on those questions, recalling our previous meeting, we had a very robust discussion about the fact that staff was presenting to this authority a very solid estimate as to what the final cost would be in terms of completing this project. I wondered, Steve, if you might want to amplify.
Yes, because I do think it's important to recall that the cost increase that we presented to you and that you solved with the infusion of funds, the story of this project has not been construction overruns. The story has been delay, number one. That's the main story. We have been suffering a delay imposed by the DEA. And that has cost us probably $20 million when we're all said and done. That's if they keep their current schedule. Secondly, we have had requests from our partners to increase scope. And generally speaking, they are paying for that. And so we don't consider that a harm or a foul, but it does increase the overall budget. Now, the good news is it comes with revenue as well. And the same is true for the scope that we're increasing for the commercial tenants. Money will flow back over time to compensate us for that. So really the uncompensated cost that we're dealing with here is delay. We're quite confident once we get the DEA out of the building that McCarthy will keep doing what they've been doing, which is generally doing the civil work without a whole lot of surprises or difficulties.
Great. Thank you very much, and thank you to the commissioners for those questions. Any further questions? Okay, is there any public comment? With that, I'd like to bring it back to the commission. We have a motion. Commissioner Tissier seconded by Vice Chair Cortese. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. And again, Stephen, thank you very much for your report and your hard work on this, and very much. Thank you very much. Now moving on to item 7, our public comment. Is there any public comment? Not, then we will adjourn this meeting to our next meeting, which will be Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Thank you very much.
February 11th,
on that? No, this is on the end of the month.
Oh, that.